the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today and tomorrow, as we will be exploring Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Today, we're going to kick off at verse 7. But first, I need to ask my good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland, how was your weekend, sir?
Well, it was a blessing because I was looking forward to being on with you today. And Jim, thanks for helping us out, as you often do. We're in the book of Isaiah, and we'll resume Isaiah chapter 9 here in just a few moments. But I trust everybody is looking forward to a special Thanksgiving Day Thursday, and maybe even kind of a Thanksgiving week. Family gatherings coming up, so it's just a very special time, and I'm feeling the holidays and Christmas spirit already. Jim, how about you?
Well, brother, right now I'm feeling hunting season fever, if you will.
Okay. Okay.
But no, it is. We're looking forward to Thursday with the family. We're gonna smoke a ham, and we'll hang out some as a family and kind of talk about things to come. So, yeah, brother, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good day for us, and I hope it is for our families across the country as well.
Amen.
Joining us today, we have a special guest in for the first part of the program. We have Elena Nicholson. Now, Elena is an Operation Shoebox graduate, if you will. She was a recipient at a young age, around the age of 8, and now she is part of what they do. And so, Elena, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this.
So, where did you grow up, Elena?
So I grew up in a former Soviet Union, and I lived there for about 12 years of my life, the first 12 years of my life.
Mm-hmm. And at what age did you get a shoebox from OCC?
So I was actually in an orphanage, my second orphanage at former Soviet Union, with my sister Yulia when I received my first shoebox. And so I was between the age of, 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. The reason I say it that way is just because when we were in the orphanage, we didn't really celebrate birthdays, and so I didn't know how old I was, per se, at that age until, I got adopted and learned I had a birthday and when my birthday is and all that stuff. So, but I was just very blessed in the sense of receiving a shoebox at the second orphanage, because that was the first gift that I have ever received with my sister. And so that was just an amazing experience for me and my sister, just receiving that shoebox and, feeling that love for the first time from a stranger that I've never even met.
Elena, along with the shoebox, you also received a booklet called The Greatest Gift. How did that impact your life?
So when I received my shoebox, just holding a shoebox in its entirety for me as a child was just an amazing experience, because, it was wrapped in a colorful, but wrapping paper, was bright, it was shiny. And I was actually afraid to open my box because I thought the inside of it wasn't as cool as the outside of it. But when I opened it and I seen everything inside, everything was pink. It was my favorite color. And I just loved everything that I got in my shoebox. But my favorite thing was the little booklet that came with my shoebox. And it's The Greatest Gift booklet. And it's stories about Jesus, just little things that they will say and wrote down. And so when I read that for the first time, I thought it was a fairy tale, because not only this was my first time hearing and reading about Jesus, but just the stories that they was telling me, I was like, there was no way. I mean, for it to say that a creator of everything, to give up his son for someone like me, that was just unheard of. And I just, as a child between the age of 10 to 12, I could not wrap my mind around that type of love, because I didn't know that type of love existed. And so when I read that booklet and those stories, and I was like, this cannot be true. This has to be the biggest fairy tale I have ever read. But I hope and I pray that it's true. And so I actually started to pray to God that I thought was a fairy tale, but I was praying and saying, you know, God, if you're real, if you are as big as you say that you are, the only thing I want is a family that would want me and my sister together. And because God is so real and he is so big that he actually answered my prayer, and my sister and I got adopted to a family in Missouri in 2004. And so we were adopted over here and together, and that's where I've been living, is just in Missouri. And now I get to share my story because I received a small shoebox that got used and changed my life.
Amen. Folks, wow. this is the last day of National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. However, it's not too late to give a shoebox. You can do that by going to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And while you're there, you can actually pack a shoebox online. It's not quite as cool as packing it yourself at home or with your Sunday school class, but it's almost that way. And for a lot of folks, I guess it may be cooler because they can go online and that's where they like to live. So, you know, we try and make it the best of both worlds, if you will. Yeah. Alex, did you have another question, brother?
Well, Elena, your testimony is so powerful, and since you got the greatest gift, which is such a powerful evangelism tool, and folks, just imagine the joy on the face of a child somewhere in the world getting the shoeboxes. But how has the Lord led your life since those days, Elena?
Well, I would have to say, I mean, you know, growing up in the orphanage, even after being adopted, it was always waiting for that one other shoe to drop, as, you know, some of us live that way. But the reality of it, I mean, with God, that other shoe will never drop. He is who he said he is. And so it took me a while, you know, after being adopted, but finally realizing, hey, he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And so because of receiving a shoebox and learning about God and having a personal relationship with him now myself, you know, I ended up going to college and had a degree in the missions department, and just having the opportunity to now go around and share my story and in hopes that God will be able to use this story, you know, to further his kingdom. And not only that, but to also share it so that way people would know that with these shoeboxes, you know, we pack them and we send them, and sometimes they feel like, oh, it's just another shoebox filled with items, you know, toys, supplies, school supplies, whatever it might be. But in reality, for us kids who have nothing, who feel like nothing, those shoeboxes could be that change in our lives. It was for me and it was for my sister. And the thought of it, just the fact that we get to partner with God, you know, it is his project, and we get to partner with him, and we get to pack, we get to pray, but he's the one that leads these shoeboxes to a specific child that really needs it. And I've seen it with my own shoeboxes. I've seen it with my sister's shoebox that she got. I had a chance to actually go to Uganda and deliver them in 2011. And so I had the chance not only to be a recipient, but also to deliver the shoeboxes. And that was an amazing trip in itself. But now I get to actually be the packer as well. And so I get to pack these boxes, and I always put stuffed animals in it, just because knowing these kids, a lot of them have to grow up so fast that, you know, they take care of their siblings, they're taking care of their families and stuff. And so even for the ages of 10 to 14, which is like the older kids that we usually pack for, I like to put, at least for me personally, just a stuffed animal, just because I know by that time they had to grow up so fast that when they open the shoebox that I packed and they see that teddy bear or stuffed animal of whatever, and they get to hold it for a few minutes, for those few minutes, they get to feel like a child again, and they don't have to worry about taking care of their families and what might they have to deal with, you know. And so just for having that opportunity, not only receiving it and getting the joy of it myself, but also being on the other side of it and packing and sharing that love and getting to share the name of Jesus and the love that he gives to these kids is just an amazing experience that I am able to participate because God used a pink shoebox and he changed my life and now I'm here. And so that's what I'm able to do. And so I might as well do it, right?
You know, Elena, I don't want to gloss over something you said, and that is that you're the packer, okay? And you prayed about what you're going to put in that shoebox. You prayed about who that shoebox is going to go to, who might receive it, and what they might be blessed from it. But you also said it's the hand of God that actually guides that. And as you mentioned from your trip to Uganda, you saw how God did that. Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, has some tremendous stories of how God has indeed guided those shoeboxes to the child who needed something that was specifically in there. And we never know who they're going to. I had the privilege of being in Lima, Peru, and was at a distribution, several distributions. And the amazement on those children's faces as they open their boxes is, it's just, it's incredible. There's nothing, you know, except maybe the first Christmases of my children as they were growing up, and they got things that they did not expect. These kids expected nothing, but acted like they had received everything. And so we want to be in prayer for those who may be filling a shoebox online right now, for those who may be sending their shoeboxes in or have delivered, or we'll take them to the distribution center today. We do want to be in prayer for that. We want to be in prayer for those recipients that something in that box will touch their life and change them for eternity, just as it did with you. Elena, I am so glad of your testimony and that you've been able to share part of that here. One of my questions was going to be what your favorite item to pack was, but you kind of answered that with the stuffed animal. But I think you go beyond that and you stuff that box with prayer too.
Absolutely. Prayer and love and just a hope for them to have a better future. And, you know, God's in the front of it, and so he'll make it happen.
Amen.
Amen. Jim, let's give the website for Samaritan's Purse, OCC. What's the best website to direct people to?
All right, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC. samaritanspurse.org/OCC. And that's the best way to do that there. Now, if you've already packed your shoebox and maybe your church collection day was yesterday and you didn't make it today, there are thousands of distribution centers, or pardon me, collection centers across the country. And you can find that information out at samaritanspurse.org/OCC as well. So you can pack a shoebox online. They have that option. You can still drop yours off if you've already packed it. And then those will be distributed, you know, throughout the coming year, because all of this doesn't happen just on December 25th. Operation Christmas Child works throughout the year, all around the world, distributing these shoeboxes. Elena, is there anything that we can pray for you for specifically? What could we and our listeners pray that would make a difference in your life today?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I tell you what, think about that, and we're going to come back to you for just a minute on the other side of the break, but I hear the music starting, and we don't want to cut you off midstream. This is Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland and Jim Stanley right here on American Family Radio.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Every second of our lives, we are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter where you are.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Praise the Lord for His love. He loves you, everybody. And, you know, one of the ways that this time of year, the children the world over learn about the love of Jesus, the reality of the gospel, is through Operation Christmas Child. It's just such a special ministry. And, Jim, it's good to have you on. We've been talking with Elena, is it Nicholson? Elena Nicholson? With Samaritan's Purse. And before the break, Sister, Jim was asking how we might be praying for you. Give a final word, if you would, Elena. And again, our prayers are with you. We encourage people to you know, send these shoeboxes. But how may we keep you in prayer? Elena? Are you there? Hey, Elena?
We may
Did
have
we
lost
lose
her.
Elena? I'm not sure if we have Elena Nicholson from OCC. Well,
she gone.
Okay.
Well, I could have said that more diplomatically, but y'all know me.
Okay.
We lost her.
So, but Jim, the shoebox ministry, it really matters. I travel a lot. It seems like every church I'm in, no matter where I am, in Tennessee, Pennsylvania, California, Texas, Illinois, the shoebox ministry is just ubiquitous, and I'm very glad that we get to be a little encourager and a part of it on through American Family Radio.
Well, it makes a difference. We help get the word out, and you know, we have packed shoeboxes here at the ministry before. We have some of our on-air talent that they will go ahead, they'll continue to pack a shoebox. I think JJ and John do it for the music side, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Abe Hamilton continues to do that with his family because it makes they enjoy it so much. And you can, you know, I know it, like I said, it's late now because today is the last day of National Collection Day for you to go to one of the many sites around the country and drop your shoebox off. But it's not too late for you to go online to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And as I mentioned earlier, firsthand, I can tell you what a difference this makes in those children's lives. And they go through the, as she mentioned, the greatest gift. These kids go through that, and then they go through a graduation ceremony at the end of that, and they're given their own Bible in their language. And that's really important because that is the Word of God given to them in their language to help them better understand what they can do for the Lord and what the Lord can do for them.
Well, we are living in exciting times of the incremental but sure fulfillment of Christ's Great Commission. Mm. And you know, Jim, the Bible says in Habakkuk that one day the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And you know, that day is coming. I mean, praise God, and, you know, with computers and software, I know there are negative aspects to computers and the internet, but more and more translations of the Bible are being made. And I know friends at Wycliffe Bible Translators, they want every language group to have at least some part of the scripture in their language. And I think about OCC, just like Elena growing up. She said she was something like 12 years old before she'd ever even heard of Jesus, but through these shoeboxes she did. And by the way, we're going to kind of segue into Isaiah because that's
as
what
we talk about children.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the great verses, and Jim, I love music. You know, if I'm awake, there's a song in my head. And I remember when I was in high school, and I wasn't even a Christian yet, but we in the chorale did part of Handel's Messiah. Mm. And we, 1 year we would do Hallelujah Chorus, which is really just called Hallelujah. And then we did part of For Unto Us a Child Is Born, Unto Us a Son Is Given. And in public school, by the way, I don't know if they'd still allow you to do Handel's Messiah. But For Unto Us a Child Is Born, Unto Us a Son Is Given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This magnificent verse, very much associated with Christmas, famously part of the Handel's Messiah, the oratorio. Well, it comes right out of God's Word, in this case, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Jim Stanley, what goes through your heart and mind when you revisit this beloved verse?
Well, brother, when you see this, and you see that it's promised that his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Think about that. He is wonderful. He is our great counselor, because we can go with him, to him through prayer, and we're able to talk to him and be ministered to by his Holy Spirit. Brother, that says something. And then the fact that he's the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. It's established. It's already been established. We're reading this from Isaiah as it's prophesied towards the future. And then in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, there's a comma there, and we're going to move on in just a moment. But this kind of caps off what was just said in verse 6. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. When Jesus comes and comes back for us and returns for us, and we're called to be at home with him, at that time, that peace that we come to know, the peace that truly passes understanding, there will be no end to that. We'll understand a little bit of what eternity means when we see that peace face to face. And then it goes on, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward, for even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, Alex, when we look at that, judgment and justice, there will be judgment and there will be justice. But the justice isn't something that we have to pay for, because we have an advocate in this justice system.
Amen.
We have an advocate who's this judge. Go ahead, brother.
Well, yeah, and folks, when you stand before God, you do not, I assure you, you do not want justice. Because if any of us got justice, it would be condemnation, because we're sinners and we deserve the wrath of God. We honestly do. But the wonderful thing is grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's grace, which is mercy, unmerited favor. In other words, it's blessing and being exonerated, though we didn't deserve it. Now, we can stand forgiven, saved, redeemed, peace with God. How? Because the justice that we deserved was put on Jesus. I mean, see, all the sins we commit, I'm a sinner. Now, I'm a forgiven, saved sinner.
Right.
But every one of us, we've known the right, we've done the wrong, we've inherited the guilt of Adam and Eve, we're sinners. But here's the thing, all of your sin, whether you live 30 years or 100 years, your sin will be paid for. But here, either you will pay for your sin, but the Bible calls that hell, separation from God eternally. How sad that would be. But you can accept that Jesus suffered for the sins of the world. He did, God incarnate, and you can accept that he's already paid your debt. And so what a beautiful thing the gospel is. Jim, I've got to point out that at the end of verse 7 of Isaiah 9, regarding the coming of this wonderful counselor, the Son, sent from the Father. It says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a study on that, and it really means the passion or the intent, will, and power of God. How is it that the remnant of the redeemed will be preserved? How is it that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and Jesus will reign forever and ever? How? Because God will do it. An omnipotent, eternal, merciful God will do it. God's kingdom is coming for sure. He wants you to be a part of it, folks.
Absolutely does. And he has paid that price so that you can be. Alex, I think that was a great way to explain it. You know, well, either we pay for our sin or we accept the payment that has been made. Because, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, there will be judgment and justice, and there will be that will be done equally.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I say this, folks, Jesus' death and resurrection makes your salvation possible, but you receiving it makes it actual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because Christ died and rose, and he did, and it's one of the most documented facts of the ancient world, but merely because Christ died and rose again, it doesn't mean you're automatically saved. You have to open your heart and respond to Jesus. And we always say Jesus is as close by as a prayer. I mean, it's no cliche. That's what Bert and I say, because it's really true. Right now, you can call out to Christ and know that you're saved. And we would encourage you to do that. But it goes on in verse 8, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, we will change them into cedars. Okay, the city is fallen. There's judgment. And there's, you know, the judgment of God. And so God has brought a word against his people. And this really affects both the northern and southern kingdoms. But in the arrogance of their heart, the people are thinking, well, we're going to rebuild. But God's going to allow adversaries to come against them. This is in verse 11. And Rezin, and the enemies, the Syrians before, the Philistines behind. You know, Jim, Syria still exists. Palestine, or the Palestinians exist. There never really has been a Palestinian state. But when I read about, like in verse 12, the enemies of Israel that mean them ill, and that the nation of Israel has had to engage in self-defense from like time immemorial. Mm-hmm. It's like the news of 2025, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely is. And those people continue to try and bring trouble to Israel. They try it politically. They try it through actual hands-on by bringing bombs and sending missiles into Israel. And it's always, I'm always amazed at the way they're able to repel those, and how they're met in the air, basically a bullet shooting a bullet, if you will. When the peace of God settles over us and settles over Israel in that great day, we'll no longer have to worry about those missiles, will we?
No. There is coming a day that, yes, there will be peace in the Middle East, but even more than that, there's coming a day, I completely believe it, that the Abrahamic covenant, the promises God made Abraham, will be fulfilled. Israel will completely inhabit their land. Not only that, but in a state of belief in the Messiah. But I've got to read the end of verse 12. This is amazing. Okay, so there's going to be enemies that come against Jerusalem. But it says, for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You know what that means? All right, judgment comes when there's sin, and yet God's hand of redemption is still outstretched. For the people turn not unto him who smite them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. So it's like the people are not going to give up without a fight, but yet they're not really bowing in contrition and redemption before God either. And so there's a lot of talk about the severity of the judgment and the cost of the judgment. Let me read verse 17, though. It says, "Therefore the Lord shall not, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is as an hypocrite, an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Here's the thing, Jim. When people suffer for their sins and their poor decisions yield tragic results, Jim, as a pastor, it's always heartbreaking to counsel families that are in splinters and children that, I'm thinking about some of the conversations I had recently. A little boy who told me his earliest memory was his dad beating him with a broom and the police taking his dad away for dealing drugs.
Mm.
And I mean, sin is a spiritual destruction of your soul, but sin destroys human lives. But the Bible says God takes no pleasure in this. And even though there's judgment, his hand is stretched out. And I know we're coming up on a break. We are going to take questions. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840. Okay, 888-589-8840 with your Bible questions. But I want to say this, folks, if you're listening to this program and you're feeling the pain of sin and guilt, a loving Savior, his arms are open.
Yeah.
Call out to him right now today.
Amen. Folks, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. That's Dr. Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley, and we'll be back with your questions next on AFR.
AFA Stream is a resource for life-changing instruction and information, a source of wholesome entertainment and relaxation, plus access to some of your favorite AFA shows. You can watch a lot of content for free, or you can become a Great Commission partner. Then you'll not only open the door to everything AFA Stream has to offer, you'll get benefits like a subscription to The Stand and some really nice exclusives. Why not get started today? It's easy. Visit stream.afa.net.
You know, that sounds like what Alex and I were just talking about. Mercy, grace, the fact that it's not up to us to pay that price, but rather the price has been paid for us. And we want to know tomorrow. Well, we want to know all the time. Let me back up on that. But tomorrow we're going to do a special program on prayer and praise and thanksgiving. We need to remember that going into the holidays, it may not be the happiest time for all families. They may have had someone go home to be with the Lord. They may have had someone that hurt themselves and they couldn't undo it once it was done. Alex, we live in a real world and we minister to real people, don't we?
Well, we really do. And you know what? I got to tell you, I don't know how people could face the day without Jesus.
Mm.
Yesterday in church, I heard one of the great old songs, and Jim, I really listened to the words of the songs, and the song they did, one of the songs, an oldie, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Yeah.
And there's a line in there, "Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our burdens bear? Jesus knows our every weakness, take it to the Lord in prayer." Folks, that's an old song, it's a very simple gospel song. What a friend we have in Jesus. But the Bible is true that he is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And oh my goodness, if you've never opened your heart to Christ, it is the greatest thing you'll ever do. You will not be disappointed. You will never regret it. Call out to Jesus. Bring Jesus' salvation into your life by putting your faith in him. Jim, I mean, and I'm not trying to sound spiritual. I've walked with the Lord 3 decades. I know you have too. I mean, if you're awake and up and about, you're communing with the Lord Jesus. He is the best friend you will ever have. The number, by the way, hey, if you've got a Bible question, we've got a couple of open lines. You'll get through this time. And I want to give a big shout out to somebody. But by the number is 888-589-8840. Jim, do I have time to give a shout out to a listener?
Brother, yes, sir, you do.
We have a dear listener. His name is Marcel Leroy. And he is 84 years old. I called him today. He's been listening to Bert and Alex for 10 years. He loves exploring the Word, and he is just very, very knowledgeable about the Bible. And you know what he does at 84 years old? He mails out gospel tracts, and he writes handwritten letters explaining the love of Jesus. And Angie and I just felt led to call him up today. And Marcel, if you're listening, brother, you're an inspiration. He's a big fan of AFR, and at 84 is still, he's a chemist, retired chemist, and he's witnessing and bringing people to Christ by mailing out little gospel booklets. Isn't that something, Jim?
Amen. You know, that's what we're called to do. We're not called to be just found waiting on Christ to return. We're called to be found working until he comes. And so it's amazing that this gentleman is able to continue to do that throughout this time. And I know that he's looking forward to meeting Jesus face to face. Well, Alex, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to talk to Lisa calling from Virginia. Lisa, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just asking for a prayer. My husband just got laid off, and we need prayer right now that hopefully he'll find another job. And I just wanted to, you know, ask for a prayer.
Lisa, let me suggest, especially during this time of the year, that you might touch base with the Salvation Army or one of the churches in your area. They have things that they will help families with during this season. They have Christmas presents that they'll help get to children that need them. And we're so glad you called, and we will definitely pray about this. Don't misunderstand me. But we also want to put feet to your prayers if we can. And that's an old country term that just says we want, you know, to be of help to you physically as well as spiritually. Alex, you know, this is a tough time to be without a job, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you know, to get laid off, unemployment's never an ideal time, but especially at the holidays. So, folks, one of the things that we do on Tuesdays is we just make it like a whole show of prayer. And we get a lot of responses from people who say, wow, you guys prayed for me and things turned around. Mm-hmm. So, Jim, would you pray for this caller and their family? And I will tell you, folks, in these hard times, we've all gone through them, but you'll see the faithfulness of Christ, and you'll draw closer to each other and closer to the Lord. I believe it.
Amen.
But Jim, would you pray?
Yes, sir. Well, Father, we thank you today that you give us the privilege of working in your kingdom every day. We thank you that we're able to hear from folks like Lisa and her family. But Father God, more than that, we know that your hand is able to reach her and through her, her family. So, Father, we ask right now that you would be with their family, that you would help the husband find a job, that you would help the husband be the father that he needs to be to his family. Lord, we don't know the situation there, but you do, and you know it fully. And so with that in mind, we ask that you, through your tremendous grace and through your tremendous ability to bless, that you would minister to Lisa, and that you would use this time to bring glory unto you through what you'll do for their family. We ask it in the matchless name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Lisa,
Amen.
Thank you for the call. Alex, I'm not sure if we had some trouble with the phone lines. We had 2 or 3 calls lined up, and they went away. So 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Alex, got an email here from a listener, and they had a question about John 13:16. Okay. And they were saying that was asking if Jesus was referring to himself, and if so, why is he stating he is not greater than God, the one who sent him? And so, break that down for us, if you would.
Yeah, let me read this scripture, John 13:16. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye that do him. Okay, let me give a little bit about this. For one thing, we are the servants, and mm-hmm. Christ is the Savior. You know, we are the disciples. He is the leader and the master. And so, if we sometimes suffer down here, let's remember Jesus suffered as well. But in terms of the incarnation, remember Christ is, God in human form. He took on a human body, came down here, and he could be our Savior. And Philippians 2 says this, though in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, made himself even a little lower than the angels. Now, Philippians 2 says this, let this mind be in you. So I want to get to the John 13:16, but the idea of servanthood, because one last verse, Jim, and I know I quote lots of verses, but Mark 10:44, Jesus said, he who would be greatest among you is the servant of all. So here's the thing. As a Christian, and certainly in church life, sometimes you're going to be misunderstood. Sometimes you're going to do things and you're not going to get thanked for it. Sometimes you're going to give your all and nobody much is going to seem to appreciate it. Understand, if they would crucify the perfect man, if they would crucify, accuse, and reject the perfect Son of God, then heaven help the rest of us, So I think Jesus was saying, he wasn't saying that he was inferior to the Father or that he wasn't fully God. But Jim, while Christ was here on earth, he voluntarily limited some of his divine, all-powerful attributes. He didn't cease to be God. He didn't, shut off his deity or anything. I'll put it like this. When I used to, my nephew that we helped raise, he always wanted to arm wrestle, and truth be told, I could have won any one of our arm wrestling matches, but I voluntarily limited the amount of strength I used because I would let Benjamin win the arm wrestling match. Mm-hmm. Jesus, when he was here, he did serve the Father. He did suffer, and he voluntarily limited his divine power and strength. And he was our servant, and now we should serve as well.
Amen.
Is that a fair enough analogy?
That is absolutely fantastic, sir. Now we're going to talk to Roger, calling from Iowa, I believe. Roger, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you. My question is, I was reading the Bible, and the man that was demon-possessed, Jesus sent the demons into the hogs, and then they ran into the ocean and drowned. Does that mean animals can be demon-possessed? We've had a cat that acts like it could have been.
Well, most cats act like that from time to time, so I wouldn't gauge it by that. But I think in the context of what you're saying there, it's not that the animals were demon-possessed to begin with. Jesus sent those demons into them, and the demons, in their haste to get away from the Lord, ran off the cliff and into the ocean. Alex, is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. And is this in Luke 16, or Luke 8? I'm sorry, Luke chapter 8. Because, demon oppression and demon possession mm-hmm. usually starts and escalates with some sort of sin, and there's a very disobedient human agent, and animals can't really do that. I'm not saying animals can be demon possessed. I think that Jesus did that there in the Luke chapter 8, because the demon said, "Have you come to torture us before the time?"
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Parenthetically, Jim, let me just say this, that even the demons somehow know that they are invariably bound for the lake of fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And that they recognize the ability of Christ to send them there, but they didn't think that they were on that timetable yet, that it wasn't their time to perish.
Can I throw something out here, too?
Yes, sir.
This is a little interesting. The question is begged, what happened? So those demons, Jesus puts these demons in a herd of pigs, and they run off a cliff and drown. So what happens to them? Did they get re-released out into the air? I'm not sure, because let me say this. There is a biblical word called Tartarus, and it's only used once in the New Testament, and it's a holding pen. It's in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, that talks about spirits in prison. And one thing the Lord might have been doing, we're not for sure, this, and I'll grant you, this is a little bit speculative, but maybe Jesus, in casting those demons into the pigs, and then the pigs jump into the water and drown, maybe, just maybe, how many demons was it? 50? 100? I don't know, actually. But maybe now those demons are in this jail cell called Tartarus, 2 Peter chapter 4, I believe it is. 2 Peter 2, 4. Do you see what I'm saying, Jim?
I sure do.
And maybe very strategically and frankly mercifully, Jesus was ridding the world of a few more demons to torment the sons of Adam.
Yeah, absolutely, because you know, demons still exist. We have a lot of folks in churches that want to say that's not true, but it is. Demons still exist, and they try to oppress and they try to possess different folks at different times. And so, you know, we have to know the difference between oppression and actual
possession.
Oppression, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I do not think a born-again Christian in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, I do not think that person can be demon-possessed, but they could be demon-oppressed. And I think that sometimes we let... there's an old gospel song by Aaron Neville. He's a Grammy-winning singer. Don't Let the Devil Ride. It's an old gospel song about don't let Satan in your car.
Mm.
And even Christians... That's why, Jim, I'm just talking, I wouldn't have a Ouija board in my house for all the money in the world.
Right.
I will not read the horoscope or anything like that. Let me say, if you're a born-again Christian, do not let the devil have any foothold in your life.
Well, and you know, as a young adult entering the ministry, I was reading different things about different cults. Not occult, but cults. And during that, part of the study did turn toward the occult. And so, you know, thinking I needed to know everything about everything and being a foolish young man, I went out and bought a Bible for the Church of Satan.
And oh, my goodness.
Also bought one of the, basically, you know, you've seen folks that have communion books and things like that. Well, they had the same type of deal for theirs, too, where they had these different things. And so I brought that in, but I need you to know that I destroyed that. Mm-hmm. Because I could feel the oppression that came from having owned that and knowing in that was not what I needed to do, that I had to draw the line. Because you don't play with fire, you will get burned.
Folks, you want the Holy Spirit of God to fully have your mind, your heart, your loyalties, your home, your family. And we can have that. We are free in Christ, but let's be mindful that it is a world of spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Folks, this has been Exploring the Word. Jim Stanley, along with Dr. Alex McFarland. Sarah, we will be praying for you later today. Ken will be praying for you, too. And join us again tomorrow as we have a special day of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving right here on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.